Good morning. Obviously, I'm not Brian, because he's now running from his office trying to get that flavored water. But it is Monday the 19th, and, as he would say, it's the bank dude, John Dalby.
It's wonderful to be here, and it's I'm so glad that Brian finally showed up in his fancy new blue glasses.
Well, I was stunned and amazed at the view that I was getting at the back of your head. It was like, that was such a great view.
Good morning. It's good to see you too, Brian.
Yeah. I can see you. I guess you know when it's time for glasses, when you get them, and then your eyes kind of get tired. It's like, oh, that must be they're seeing things.
Yeah.
All right, smart guy. You ready for our question of the day?
All right. Stump me again.
Well, I think you may have gotten the last one pretty close. Okay. Why do judges wear black robes?
Black robes?
Yeah.
I think they wear robes because they wanted to originally look more like the common folk.
Do you have a black robe at home?
No, I'm just making this.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good, because that was kind of a concern for you. Yes.
Actually, that's why priests started wearing robes, is because they had fancy clothes and their constituents didn't, and so they wanted to look more common.
And to disguise themselves, yes, also, out in the public. Well, both of those are wrong, by the way.
Okay.
Judges' robes were not always black. They were very colorful until the death of Queen Mary II in 1694. At this time, they changed to black to mourn her death, and they just never changed back. So it's inertia and laziness combined.
So it's the Brits.
Yeah.
The Brits have done it to us.
That's right. So watch out. We're going to start seeing new colored robes.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure. Somberness. You know, it's like, wait a minute. Why would I want to go into a place where the color is the color of death? And be standing there having somebody determine my future.
Well, why don't you just toe the line and obey the law and you won't have that problem.
Well, even as a juror.
Yeah.
Now, see, I'm following the rules now. It's still in the same quagmire. So what are you hearing about inflation, interest rates, things of that nature? We keep hearing that it's ticking up, inflation, tax paybacks, all these things that are going to start squeezing things and altering some of the basics that have been in play for the last 12, 14 months.
Yeah, the inflation piece, I've read a number of articles, and you know, why with the massive increase in the money supply, we haven't seen runaway inflation. And most of that is because it's not getting out into the public for use, and it's sitting in banks in excess reserves.
Most people are saving it? The rainy day syndrome, or are they paying off debts?
Both.
Yeah, because either way, it would result in the same example.
Yeah. So, and, you know, we've seen unprecedented growth and deposits in the banking
system. There's that word.
Unprecedented.
I hate that word.
Yeah.
That's right up there with collaborate.
Really? Yeah. All right. So you want me to leave?
No, I want to stay. I want to get together. I want to talk. I don't want to collaborate. You know, and every day is unique, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we should be seeing rates rise.
Eventually, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. About half an hour from now.
Okay. And eventually, you know, and a lot of people are concerned about inflation and so forth, and that's why we've seen the rise in popularity of cyber currencies.
Because those are unaffected by inflation?
Well, theoretically, yes. So let's take Bitcoin for example. There is a finite number of Bitcoins out there. You know, there were so many that theoretically were made. Okay. And so as they increase in value, they don't keep adding more Bitcoins. And so you don't see the inflationary things involved in that. Although the price of Bitcoin has gone up because of concerns over
it's just
one of the many things.
Simple demand rather than a supply issue.
Yeah. And so, but what we're doing with the money supply is we're adding to it. trying to prop up the economy. So you have excess deposits in banks right now, and then you have so much stimulus money out there. And so we just have, we're starting to see the 10-year treasury rise, and we've seen mortgage rates rise a little bit, but the short-term rates have stayed at the bottom.
Is that to be anticipated, the way it's playing out? Is this getting back to familiar territory?
Well, we should see a difference between long-term rates and short-term rates, and so we're starting to see a yield curve come back, which is normal.
The phoenix is rising out of the ashes,
right,
so to speak.
Unfortunately, because, you know, so one would think that, you know, longer-term CDs and so forth, the interest rates would go up on those. But because of the excess deposits, we're not seeing that. And so it's going to be a while before, you know, the depositors see any increase in rates. In fact, they're virtually zero at this point.
Right. So is that a byproduct then of the money's being spent, money's being saved, debt going down? What consumer behavior is going to trigger?
Well, at some point in time, are people going to start using those deposits, you know, whatever they are? And a lot of them are in businesses, you know, that have received stimulus money and just held on to it. We've also seen personal accounts rise in average balances. And a number of...
Now, normally those are good things.
Yes.
Savings, businesses being liquid, that's all good stuff, but it's not this time.
Now, we have too much good stuff. so, well, you know, until we start seeing those people spend that money, we probably won't see the inflationary impact of the excess money supply.
So then it also is going to be a factor of how the money is being spent. If it dribble, there won't be that big shock to the system.
Exactly. Yeah.
Really? I got like a C+ on that?
We'll go C-.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, that's still the only D I ever got in my life was a D+ at Humboldt for macroeconomics.
Oh.
I took it a year later and got an A back. It was kind of familiar territory at that point. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with John Dalby. John, so we got inflation pressures that are out there. You had mentioned that real estate is, Bruce Williams used to share on air then with some of the conversations we had in different settings. Real estate, they're not making any more of it.
That's true.
As particularly with what's going on locally, I would think that it's not speculation. It's almost a, you know, if you're looking at a 5% return or a 10% return, you'd have to do something really over the top not to get that for the next 4 or 5 years.
Well,
locally.
Are you talking about the increase in value, or are you talking about the return on rents?
Both.
Okay, so you have some other factors. I mean, I've seen, for instance, when I lived in Ukiah, we had a huge migration. You know, we were renting and we wanted to buy a house there. But there was a huge migration of people from the Bay Area, from Marin, Santa Rosa, moving to Ukiah.
Yeah, Santa Rosa wanting a small town.
So you know, I can remember getting a call from my realtor saying at noon, house just went on the market, meet me down there, 12:15, I'm there. I look at it, I take a quick look, ask for the asking price. They would give it to me. I'd add $10,000 to it, make an offer. They'd open the bids at 3 o'clock, so it had been on the market for 3 hours, and I would get outbid by somebody who was, you know, $15,000 or $20,000 over asking price and paying cash. And so we saw a huge escalation in
real estate
values.
So kind of similar to what we're
seeing
here now, yeah.
So, but I did get a house, and we did buy, and 2 years later, we decided to move again out of the area, and I was upside down in my home. Point being is that right now we have a migration from the L.A. Basin. We have a migration from the Bay Area coming here. But will they stay? You know, is there going to be a migration at some point, as we've seen, from those areas to the, you know, the Idahos and the Tennessees, Texas, you know, Florida, various
places.
The
out of states.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, to say it's a sure thing is a challenge.
Okay, nothing's 100%.
That's correct.
Granted, but all the trends and it doesn't seem as if the fundamentals that are driving this one right now are going to be changing in the next 5 years.
And our supply issue is the big one, and that is
financing being as affordable as it is also.
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah.
That helps pretty much. But what we're our area just doesn't have the developable land, at least that we're willing to develop. I mean, for instance, you know, I think Kirk Kramer had that big development out in Cutton.
Yeah, Rexy's
and that,
field, yeah.
That got shut down because of, I believe it was because of concerns of traffic on Walnut. And, but that's my point, is the land we do have that can be developed, we don't want it developed. And we have very little land, especially around the Eureka area, that can be developed. So when you see a subdivision, it might have, you know, 10 or 15 lots at the most, where, you know, in Redding, they'll have 200 or 300 lots in a big, you know, flat valley that they live in. So, yes, you're correct. The chance of us overbuilding is very minimal. And so there's a lot of slack there before we start to see housing prices fall. I mean, that's just an economic guess.
Right, but that kind of seems to make sense. What is the difference between being prior approved and cash? I mean, you hear that you have cash. Well, okay, and this person has got the letter from the bank saying, yes, authorized up to a certain level. Isn't it the same thing?
No. And
what's
here's
the
why.
Distinction?
So pre-approval means that Brian Papstein has gone to his bank or to a broker, to somebody who's a provider of mortgages, and they have qualified as an individual to make a payment of so much. So once the process of purchase, so if you were to enter into the equation and said you're even though you're pre-approved, you're not approved because the property still has to go through the process of being appraised, title, et cetera. And there's a number of things that can happen along the way, such as you decide, you know, I'm buying this new house. I need a brand new, you know, Mercedes to park in front of it. So you take on some additional debt. Now you don't qualify. Things can happen is what I'm saying. And so there is more risk with a pre-approved than with cash. An unimproved would have even more risk than a pre-approved. So there are stages.
It's a gradation. Through,
right.
Yeah. And cash means cut a check, here you go. Thank you very much.
Yes. And theoretically, there's no appraisal process in it. Generally, your conditions are that it meets certain inspections and so forth, but, you know, clear pest and that sort of thing. But with a pre-approval, there's going to be an appraisal. If an appraisal is low, we could have a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So cash is better if you're a seller, and that's, you know, that's just, that's what makes it very difficult for locals to buy against those people that are selling in the Bay Area and moving here with their equity.
Now it makes perfectly good sense. KINS, News and Information Time. Whoops, it's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with the bank dude, John Dalby from Redwood Capital Bank. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, Baywood Golf and Country Club, Humboldt Bay Bistro, and Randall Sand and Gravel. John, considering some of the different types of, I guess, consumables that are out there that are monitored in the financial industry, where are things like unit sales for automobiles? Where are things like consumer confidence? Where are things like retail trends, travel? I mean, some of these things that people do that are reflective of confidence, reflective of normal, reflective of these things that you folks normally look at. Are those back in the equation yet, or is it still with a big old asterisk because of the health situation?
So consumer confidence is an interesting one to follow, and you know, I can't really explain why it's doing what it's doing. And then you have significant change in the purchasing habits of people, and I think primarily due to the COVID. So, for instance, you know, people couldn't travel by airplane. You know, and so in a lot of the destinations you would go to by airplane, you couldn't go to, you know, Disneyland's and, you know, that sort of thing. And so people were recreating and vacationing by car. And so you saw a big uptick in RV sales, and the biggest issue was getting them. They were selling them faster than they could get inventory. And so we're seeing inventory problems in a lot of areas. For instance, I was talking to a bicycle mechanic the other day, and they can't get parts. they don't have bikes on the show floor very many because they can't get them. And so somewhere in the supply chain, it's been broken and slows things down. It could be something as far as getting the aluminum you need for manufacturing, getting paints, getting cardboard, getting whatever it takes. So somewhere in the supply chain, it's breaking down, and then you have some transportation issues along the line. So supply can be challenging. At the same time, demand has changed.
Yeah,
it's changed. It's, you know, has it increased? It's shifted, and so people are not spending money for a period of time. We're not spending money on flying in resorts. They were spending money on recreational things, so, you know, bicycles and kayaks and hiking boots and camping gear and RVs and other things where, you know, they could go and do during this period of time.
Experience things in the neighborhood.
Now, I just talked to somebody who's trying to buy an airline ticket, and I purchased some, you know, 6 months ago, hoping that we could fly there, you know, for some time in the future still. And they were really cheap and easy to get. Well, now, you know, the planes are filling up and it's getting to be a challenge to get onto an airplane. So I think we're going to see a shift now from, you know, the recreational RVs and so forth to Now they're going to fly to Hawaii or, you know, other destinations and enjoy themselves that way and spend their money. So we're going to see another shift, I think, in consumer purchasing practices.
So what does that bode then for the economy? I mean, if we're looking at purchasing, if we're looking at supply chains, certainly the supply chains are going to continue to try to ramp up to meet the order demands, even though now maybe the demand at the consumer level will shift. And now you got 48 bicycles and you normally sell two of them a month kind of
thing. So, we could see that kind of a shift where now you can obtain things. For instance, in the world of firearms, they are selling faster than they can be produced. Ammunition selling faster than it can be produced. So you're seeing bare shelves and stores and so forth. When does that change? I assume that has to do with the change in administration and people worried that if they don't buy one now, they won't get one.
Yeah, you got another level on top of it, the normal concerns of the new
administration. And so now you have supply issues with that because demand is so very, very high. But that's going to shift at some point in time when people get less concerned about it or, you know, they outlaw guns or whatever is going to happen. And so we're going to see these shifts in different arenas.
Now, one of the issues that was an issue prior to this was building supplies, that it just was going crazy. Do you see that there's going to be a change there? Not necessarily on the we focused in the past about the labor part of it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the materials part of it. You know,
it's crazy what it's causing.
Yeah, and it seems to be product specific, not across the board, which I found really intriguing. We stumbled on this yellow cedar, which is really an Alaska spruce. Prices haven't moved. Product is moving like gangbusters, but the prices are still pretty static, where if you're looking at like the Western Red Cedar, things are a little bit more volatile. Mm. So it seems like it's within the industry called remodeling or construction, not necessarily across the board. So I would think that that's going to reflect or trigger consumer change.
Yeah.
And that's part of
the consumer during COVID. A lot of people started doing home projects because they couldn't go anywhere on their vacation. So, you know, I've been wanting to do this project A or B, build a deck, add a room, paint something, fix this up, whatever it is. And so a huge demand was placed, and contractors were very, very busy, and materials became sparse. And then you had, you know, factories that were closed down or mills that were closed down because of COVID. And so you would see supply issues, and again, transportation becomes a challenge.
So do you see that loosening up?
I think it will, but over time. Right now, there's still pent-up demand for construction.
Yeah, no kidding. But we are starting to get our share of it a little bit here. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with John Dalby. John, the future of the economy in our area, what are you guys looking at in your crystal ball for a five-year horizon?
Well, we were really concerned when COVID broke out because it was an unknown. And, of course, having gone through the Great Recession as a banker, you know, we're obviously concerned about seeing something like that. And that was the scuttlebutt in the industry, is that this is going to be similar to the Great Recession. We didn't see that happen. We saw certain industries, and I'm going to use the word punished because it seems like COVID restrictions really hit a limited number of businesses. but hit them hard. So, you know, for obviously restaurants, small retailers, you know, that weren't allowed to open their doors, even though Costco, Winco, Target, you know, are wide open.
The consistency was a little soft.
Yeah. And so, you know, it just didn't seem fair for, you know, a small business that might have one or two people in their store at any one time. So, we ended up punishing a relatively small, finite group, but we kept punishing them over and over again. And of course, some of that trickled up through the chains. If you were a supplier,
sure,
of restaurants,
suppliers and vendors, yeah,
and
yeah,
so forth. So there's that effect. But then we saw, you know, anybody in the building trades, building materials, which you referenced in the last segment, you know, they had banner years. You know, where hardware and building materials just skyrocketed as far as sales go.
Yeah, landscapers. I mean, you know, yeah, the home DIY niche.
That's correct.
There. Yeah,
and again, because people were staying at home, so what are you going to do? I'm going to work on my house. I'm going to do this projects I've been putting off forever. Yeah, unless you were me, which I managed to put them off.
Yet again,
you know, longer. Yeah.
Well, you know, if you're determined, you know, that's a positive thing. So as you look, there in theory, there's going to be less money coming in because the employment, the funny money, isn't going to be there. You're probably not going to see some of the business support that has been there or that is being proselytized as being the saving grace. Some of those types of things that were there last year aren't there this year. In theory, what do you see for the next five? You know, as we get back onto our feet without training wheels, what's there?
Well, you have some changes in trends in consumer, you know, behavior. One is more and more use of online purchasing. So a large number of people have discovered things like Instacart and other types of home delivery for everything from groceries to all consumables. You know, anymore, it's almost like you get Instacart and get your car washed. That's cynical. But, are those practices going to go back? Are people going to start going back to the store? Are they going to like the convenience of that?
Yeah, I've seen some stuff that shows that people doing a ton of research on the internet, but they still want to go down to the local store and buy it as long as it's within a price range.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't want to get taken advantage of. But where in the past it was kind of the inverse. Go down to the local store, touch, feel, and then buy on the internet. So I don't know.
Which always made me feel guilty. I couldn't do that.
No.
If I could get it locally, I had to buy it locally.
And I would want to. Yeah, that's just kind of the way. Maybe we're hardwired or we're just old guys.
Yes, and yes.
Yeah. But that some of the youngers are wanting the tactile experience now, too. Which is, you know, I don't think retail is going to come back the way that it did. You know, we're not going to see Sears come up out of the ashes.
Mm-hmm.
But there are going to be changes. So what are the canaries that you guys are looking at as the board, as the bank, or just as members of the community that are positive signs?
Well, you're seeing a lot of construction taking place, not new home construction, but we're seeing a lot of, I mean, the contractors are very, very busy. And so that
investment construction.
Yeah. So that, a lot of that is very, very positive for the community. If you're building, there's a reason for that. And so those are some really positive things. We haven't, like I've mentioned before, other than just a few specific areas, we haven't seen a decline in economic activity.
Employment seems to be very tough, though, right now.
Yes.
Trying to get, not looking for jobs.
Exactly. Because of all the stimulus and all the money available, people aren't wanting to work, and there's a challenge getting employees, especially entry-level employees.
That cultural shift is really disturbing, that people are comfortable in taking largesse rather than wanting to get out and do things. You know,
yeah, and it's very frustrating for a lot of companies.
A lot of wins,
that have never had problems finding employees.
Yeah, Or finding problem employees.
Thank you.
All right. See you Friday tomorrow.